Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life, a program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking with Brett Haworth. I mean, he's been all kinds of things, actor, producer, pastor, screenwriter, and author. He is a speaker to a lot of different groups, an entrepreneur, and a family man. And he has written a book called Backwards, How to Live Forwards. Brett, welcome to Life Quest.
Thank you, Dwight. I appreciate being here.
Why this book at this time? Not just the autobiography part, but the message you're wanting to convey.
The message, Backwards, comes from a lot of different angles. We're crossing denominational lines. We're speaking at universities. We speak heavily in churches. I mean, we're speaking in Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, you name it. We're there.
Right.
Seventh-day Adventists, all over. And Backwards came from frustration, from the secular world. You know, the work ethic of today isn't where I used to see it growing up,
uh-huh.
You know, where people didn't work for very much money, and they worked their tail off. And then in life, you know, the sarcasm, the humor of daily events
right.
really caught me, because I am involved in some activity in film and television in Hollywood, and Backwards just seemed to be catchy because it seemed like a lot of people kept living the same life over and over, and I kept getting questions that were... You know, Brett, how do I change my life? You're involved in ministry, and
yeah.
you're involved in different things. And so that just kept hitting me backwards, backwards, backwards. And I thought, well, you know what? People need to live forward, meaning change, not only change, but get into a life of where there's momentum, meaning you can better your life.
Absolutely. And this is where you're going with your book. Now, you've had to look back a little bit as you put this thing together, but early on in your book, Backwards, How to Live Forward, you say, when we fall short in life, it's too easy to develop the terrible habit of returning to the scene of the crime. And, you know, I got to thinking, a lot of people keep asking forgiveness for sins of decades ago.
Yeah.
It's like they're stuck there.
Yeah. Well, we're creatures of habit. We like routine. We like our comfort zones. And literally what I'm trying to get people to do is show them that by just taking a step forward, you can change the situation, whether it was in 1972 when you dinged somebody's car next to you in a parking lot, to a divorce, to a loss of a job, so on and so forth. And I'm really getting people to focus back on what their true fingerprint in life is and what mark they want to leave.
Yeah, and again, the learning from the past is an important
yeah.
thing. We keep making the same
yeah.
mistakes over and over, it seems.
Yep. And you know, we learn from our history, we learn from our past, so that we don't perpetuate it into the future.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm finding now that I'm just over 40, I'd like to say just over 20, but now that I'm over
yeah.
40, and what I'm noticing is a lot of people are like, they're lost in life, but they're not so lost that they have forgotten what they wanted to do in life. They're gravitating more backwards, remembering better days. Well, better days are always ahead of us if we're still breathing, still above ground.
Yeah.
And those, we've got to learn to let go of the past. And the way that I do that is to get people to focus on what they thought of when they were children. I want to turn around. What did you want to be when you were a child?
Right.
Well, I take them to a place where I call it the fingerprint they want to leave in life. I get them to dream again. I get them to think again. And so by doing so, they let go of the past. Returning to the scene of the crime, they start to gravitate more towards the future, and they see hope as opposed to no hope.
I know it's a common thing, and I'm older, but, you know, the good old days weren't always good. They were sometimes terrible. And,
yeah.
you know, even corporately or as a country or anything like that, and we'd like to fool ourselves into thinking, well, yeah, back to the 50s, you know, and Father knows best. Yeah. But there were sinful humans like there are today.
That's true. Very true.
You said a good idea must come to pass, but a God idea must come to pass. Must come to pass.
Yes. Well, we're all given an innate thought process, I believe. You know, Jeremiah was told by God, I knew you before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
No means to be intimate with. And so when we come out of the womb, we're loud, we're obnoxious. Parents never say, hey, make it louder, I can't hear you. No, it's always, keep it down. You come out with excitement. And as you come through life, you hear, no, don't do this, no, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe as a child, I had dreams that I'm fulfilling now in my 40s that I used to talk about when I was a little kid. And so when you get around the right people and you get around people that are doing things in life and you get around people that will help inspire you, motivate you, and help you to live forward,
mm-hmm,
I believe those things that were in the past can come to fruition. And yes, things do look like they were better in the past, but our best days, again, are in our future. So without sounding redundant, my goal is to get people to think about what it was that they used to talk about, what they used to dream about as children,
mm-hmm,
and get them back on their path so that they can have a better life, not a bitter life.
It's odd, isn't it, that there are so many people willing to tell you can't.
Yes, it is true. And you know what? It doesn't matter what dream you have. You know, I may be speaking, and I may be writing, and I may be involved in some facets in TV and film, and but it doesn't matter what you do. There's always going to be somebody, they call them haters nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, people that want to deflate your dream.
Right.
Well, I try to get around like-minded people. Paul said, I return to my own company throughout the book of Acts. You get around your own company, people that are going to hold you up, build you up, and then push you out to launch you out. Those are the people that you need to continue to be around so that you can fulfill your destiny. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we're here to do things without God, and we're here to do things with God. And with God is a lot better than without God.
You say something that I think all of us can resonate with. There are times in our lives and in our thinking, and we say, well, has God forgotten me? Or have I put up such a barrier in my thinking, my lifestyle, whatever it may be, maybe God isn't there.
Yes. You know, a lot of us, when we pray, we want God to move in real time. You know, nobody knows the pain more personally than you yourself as you're going through your pain. And we want to, on time, right now, God. Well, I put it like this. The book of James talks about your tongue, it can set a fire.
Yes.
But a little rudder can move a gigantic ship. Well, you know, that little rudder, when it starts moving, doesn't move a gigantic ship like they have nowadays in 4 minutes. So a lot of times we've got to give God some time to do things because it's a process, and we have to trust the process. It takes time. It takes time to heal sometimes. I remember falling off my bike when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get a scratch. My mom would put a Band-Aid on it. A few days later, it'd be gone. Well, you know, we live in such a society where we want everything right now, right now, right now. Faster internet, faster food, so on and so forth. We've got to give God time to move, to work it out.
Folks, if you've just tuned in, I'm talking with Brett Hayworth. He's written a book called Backwards, How to Live Forward. You remind us of the story in Luke 24 about the disciples who were leaving Jerusalem rather downcast because things hadn't turned out the way they thought regarding the Messiah, and they're on the way to Emmaus. Why is that passage important to you?
Because they didn't recognize who the Messiah was.
Mm-hmm.
And on their way there, they were talking to a gentleman that they were just thought was passing by. And a lot of times in life, things will show up in our life, and will think, obviously, this isn't what I'm looking for. But again, backing up what I was just saying, we've got to trust the process. Sometimes we've got to open the package to see what's in it.
Yes.
And so that story always reminds me of, it is inch by inch. And a lot of people look at the success of people that have been working hard for 20, 25, 30, 40 years and say, I want that. But they're not willing to put the time into it to get the results that they got.
There's a hymn called There's Joy When the Work Is Done. But you know, there should be another hymn that there's joy in doing the work.
Yeah. Agreed.
How do we tell the difference between a wish, a fantasy, and a goal that God can back us up on?
Well, without, you know, crossing any denominational lines, the Bible talks about that God gives the desires of your heart.
Right.
And by spending time in prayer, spending time in the Word, and really getting to know the Father, then you're sure to not make the mistakes that you would if you didn't have guidance from God, the Bible, and through prayer.
Absolutely.
And so it's a, you know, you can make decisions all day by yourself, educated, risk-free, so on and so forth, and you can come up short. But with God, He's going to work it out. And again, we have to take the time to spend with Him, and I'm not talking 15, God, I prayed 15 minutes, now I need the answer in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And a lot of us, even I deal with that. And so we've got to just, you know, walk it out, take your time. The past for me was a blessing in that my grandparents and the like, they worked hard and they knew what it was to be patient.
Right.
And they may not have gotten it in their lifetime, but they know that they were passing down a generational blessing to those that followed them, the gift of going second. Yep.
You know, I think about my grandparents and my father, et cetera. They, in 1930, they emigrated to the United States from Germany.
Yeah.
They couldn't really speak the language. And they're in New York City. But, you know, at that age, my grandfather, I think, was 50-something. You know, here they're picking up, they're taking everything, and they had a dream, they had a goal. And they came, and they had to work hard because it was the middle of the financial depression. And yet, they do it. It's a good heritage, frankly. And yet, they were spiritual people, and they never lost sight of God direction.
Yeah. Your group of people, that group of people, they knew what it was to work. I mean, we can look at history and the fact, just through architecture, when you go look at different homes and buildings, you can see how much time they dedicated, you know, to the storefronts, to the ornate old colonial homes and what have you.
Right.
And I appreciate that. And today, I'm trying to teach people that the people that stick out the most are those that dedicate time, dedicate their craft, listen to their, you know, their parishioners, their clients, so on and so forth, and they get the job done. They don't just have their own motive, but what they're doing is they're living forward. And by living forward, what I'm trying to stress is they're walking things out. They're pushing forward, and they'd rather fail forward than fail completely and go backwards and have to start over again, if that's making sense.
Yeah. Now, you have a passage here towards the end of your book called Reaching Freedom. And you say, when God heals you, sometimes it's immediate, but more often than not, it is gradual. And you're referring to many things, I'm sure, but you're also talking about your whole view of life.
Correct. I am. And so I grew up in a dysfunctional home, and I pretty much say, who hasn't grown up in a dysfunctional home in some way, shape, form, or another? And I believe that by letting go of the past, pursuing the future, getting around people that can help pull you out of different situations, they're needed. And so healing, again, is a process. I I've seen alcoholism. I saw abuse. I saw a lot of things growing up, but I don't have that in my family nowadays. And, you know, we're continuing to walk forward. But remember this, out of everything that I'm doing, I'm allowing God to have preeminence, first place in my life to help me change first so that I can be a blessing to those around me.
And, you know, yes, people are interested in ancestry more than maybe they have in recent decades. And they look back and say, well, you know, what hope is there for me? And there does seem to be sometimes generational attitudes and actions. Yeah. But the good news is you can call a stop to that.
Yes, you can.
And
you can
make things different. And that's what you were saying in your book as you describe your own personal life.
Correct. And, you know, I come from a diverse nationality background. I'm Jewish, African-American, I'm Italian, I'm Irish. And so I could say a lot of things about the different nationalities and what we've gone through. But long story short, I would rather pursue God and change and meditate on his promises by pursuing the future than dwelling on the past and what has happened to man. Because I'm not going to bring change from the past. Change is going to come in the future.
And that's the theme of Chapter 9, Final Step Forward. And you quote Sharon Kierkegaard, even though life can only be understood in reverse, it must be lived looking forward. Now, I know your emphasis there is on the looking forward, as we've been talking about. But, you know, most people that I connect with, they don't like history. They don't like to look back. In general, we don't have to make the same mistakes as a country, as an individual, as a family, or as a church. And they sleep through the history classes in high school and beyond. I think most of that I taught school, and is because history isn't taught right. It's taught with dates and battles and all that, instead of stories of real people getting sometimes in trouble or going in spite of it all.
True.
So this balance between learning from the history, because otherwise we're going to repeat it, and living looking forward, it is a balance.
It is a balance, and you're correct. One of the things that I was thinking while writing that was, I don't want to do what my parents did, because I don't want to have the results that my parents had. I'm not saying that their whole life was a failure, and it's not over, not by any means, but they wanted me to advance. And, you know, I have family members that won't even listen to music from 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, because it reminds them of the past.
I see.
And so that's the thing with God. God gives us an area of imagination and dreaming and thinking with him. And my favorite scripture in the Bible, in Ephesians 3:20, it says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Ephesians 3:20. So what am I saying in that? I'm saying that by spending time with him, he's going to draw you into a place that's taking you out of the past. He is going to put you in the present to allow you to dream for the future so that you can see real life change. Some people may be asking, well, my life isn't turning out like yours, Brett. My life isn't turning out like yours, Dwight. Well, maybe it's not. So then you need to be true to yourself and say, am I living in the past? Am I gravitating backwards? Mm-hmm. Or am I allowing God to come into my life, make the necessary changes so that he can bless me living and moving forward?
Again, I'm talking with Brett Hayworth. He is the author of a new book called Backwards, How to Live Forward. Brett, where can our listeners get a copy of your book?
You can go to Amazon.com, and you can either look up my name, Brett Hayworth, or Backwards, How to Live Forward. It's also, I believe, on Nook, possibly in some of the stores like Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to our website, BrettHayworth.com, and that's about it. That's about it right now.
Well, that's very good. And Brett, thank you so much for being with us today on LifeQuest.
Thank you, Dwight. I appreciate it. It was a great interview. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.